This is the Full Press NBA Podcast.
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win!
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Bird up fake. Bird takes the shot. It's on! It's on! Oh, my goodness!
Presented by Sportscaster.com and distributed by Snowman Digital Media.
Here's Carnes. Let's one go from center court.
He got it! He got it! He got it!
The Full Press NBA Podcast is finally back, and finally back on a full-time basis. Brian Snow here with you over the FPC Network, and I owe y'all a huge apology for not being consistent with this podcast. Man alive, it's so good to be back. It's so good for the NBA to be back. I'll be offering my thoughts throughout the course of the podcast. Chris Pertle will join me later. But at the time of this, let's get to some scores here, and we'll do the Monday schedule in a little bit, but scores from Sunday, the Nets over the Wizards, 118-110, Spurs over the Grizzlies, 108-106, Orlando defeat Sacramento, 132-116, the Rockets survive the Bucks, 120-116, they get 31 from Westbrook, the Bucks get 36 from Giannis. And it was the Suns over the Mavericks in a comeback win, 117-115. Devin Booker finished with 30 points. Luka Doncic, 40 points, 8 rebounds, and 11 assists. And in the game of the day, Jason Tatum tallied 34 points to offset Damian Lillard's 30 points as the Boston Celtics defeat the Portland Trailblazers, 128-124. Give you Monday's schedule in just a moment. But when y'all get back after this break, you're going to hear from the one and only Chris Pertle, who stopped by Snowman in the morning. You'll hear that interview in its entirety. Then I'll give you Monday's schedule and we'll get out of here. And once again, I apologize. I was off with an illness that knocked me down for the better part of 4 weeks. But I am back and I'm going to give y'all this NBA coverage the way it's supposed to. Chris Pertle after the break. I have made such a mistake. How can I talk NBA basketball with its return and all this bubble action if I don't have the guru of NBA gurus with me? Chris Pertle is back. What's up, Pertle?
Hey, Brian. Good to be with you. Good to be with you. You know, we're going to forgive you because it looks like you rectified the situation. So we're going to forgive you this time, Brian. And it's good to be with you on a Monday morning from Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, good to be with you. Speaking of which, we'll start there with the Phoenix Suns, you know, and welcome to you from Phoenix, Arizona. Okay. From a general standpoint, what have you liked and disliked so far with the NBA return?
Well, you know, I'm starting to get back into the excitement that is the NBA. We had some great games yesterday to help encourage that excitement. You know, we saw a Boston Celtic victory against a Portland Blazer team that really, really needed to get that victory yesterday, Brian. They now fall 2.5 games behind the Memphis Grizzlies in the standings. The Celtics lost the lead and ended up regaining it. Similar situation in Houston and Milwaukee last night. The Rockets blow a double-digit lead to arguably the best team record-wise in the NBA, only to regain that lead in the closing minutes and come out of there with an impressive victory. So I guess what I've liked, Brian, is the fact that we've seen some really close games, some competitive games, to get us right back into the NBA spirit that we have missed so badly for 4.5 months, man. So that's a welcome sight. I think we all want to see that. We love competitive basketball. That's what makes it fun. That's what makes it exciting. It took me a while, and at first, I guess I just necessarily didn't like it, but now I'm getting used to it, and that was the fans in the stands, or the lack of fans in the stands. But I do like the videos or the video cameras or whatever you want to call it that has a fan sitting in each seat cheering for their team. I thought that actually turned out to be a pretty good idea.
Yeah, they're putting it together. They are putting it together. How long does this last? Okay, that's my other question. Does this last into next season? Because if we get beyond this pandemic, or when we get beyond this pandemic, the fans are going to want to come back to the games. So does this last beyond this, the end of this season?
I personally think that there's a good possibility that it will. Luckily, though, it seems like they have a remedy. And number one, it's to be in a bubble. We're seeing what's going on in Major League Baseball. Not off to a good start at all, Brian. Some teams have played 3 games, while other teams have played 10. Hard to imagine that thing is going to be able to stay on track for a 60-game season like they have planned for Major League Baseball. However, they're not in a bubble, and the NBA is. So I think that they have the right idea by being in the bubble, and if they have to stay in the bubble for another season, we're starting to realize that, hey, it's not that bad. As long as these games are on TV and we can see what I just talked about a few moments ago, and that is competitive basketball games between the stars and the best teams in the NBA, then we as fans that get to watch it on TV, we'll take that for now, and then eventually, hopefully, we can get back to going to the arenas, and like you and I, covering games at the arenas. We're just going to have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to see how it plays out, and I'm with you. The competitiveness is great, especially with the game that we saw with the Portland Trail Blazers and the Boston Celtics. Here's a question for you. Did it benefit the Celtics to lose that double-digit lead and still come out with a win, or did it benefit the Portland Trail Blazers knowing that they can come back from any deficit, but with the caveat, there's not that much more to go. So if they're going to make a move, they're going to make a move now. Who did benefit more?
Well, I think if you're the Blazers, you can't have any consolation in a loss right now. Every game is important, and you have to win really every single game to have a realistic chance of passing the Memphis Grizzlies. And for that matter, Brian, passing your San Antonio Spurs, who with a victory yesterday and a Blazer loss, moved ahead of the Portland Blazers in the Western Conference standings.
Mm-hmm.
So for the Blazers, there is no consolation in any losses right now. That was a game that you needed to have. It was a game that you probably should have won. If you're Damian Lillard with about 4 seconds in that game, you passed up a 3-point shot. Might not have necessarily been a wide open shot or the best type of three that you can take. But if you're Damian Lillard, you've already proven hundreds of times that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
With those circumstances, and you can make that shot. Instead, he chose to throw it into Nurkic, who had no choice but to lay it up with about 3 seconds left in the game. I thought that was a mistake by Lillard at a time where you cannot afford to lose games. So to answer your question, Brian, not a good situation for the Blazers. And if you're the Celtics, you come away with all the confidence in the world, because at the end of the game, Kemba Walker was not available due to a minutes restriction, and you still found a way to get the job done and get the W.
Yeah, that's true. True points all the way around. The Spurs do move ahead of Portland with their big win. The Spurs have gotten 2 big wins, you know, wiping out a deficit against Indiana and then beating Sacramento. Speaking of Indiana, that was one team you and I had touted before the shutdown, was the Indiana Pacers. They're not off to a good start. They're 1-1 in the restart. How does Indiana look to you now, and can they improve with 6 games left in this sprint to the playoffs?
Well, you know, Brian, back in March when we found out the season was going to be suspended, the Pacers were in the process of assimilating Victor Oladipo back into the lineup. And he never really had a full opportunity to get assimilated back into the Pacer offense, and even to the Pacer offensive and defensive system for that matter. So that the layoff kind of hurt the Pacers at that time, because Oladipo was coming back. They were starting to get to re-know each other, and boom, there's a 4.5-month layoff. So they had to delay that process of Oladipo getting back with the team and getting going. I think after several games, those guys will get to know each other again and things will be fine. They have a pivotal game today. We'll have to see how that goes for them. But you're right, they haven't got off to the most ideal of starts. Luckily for them, they still have a few more games to get their acts together before they actually get into the playoffs.
You know, a team that needs to get their act together, and I don't think will, even when the playoffs start, That's the Philadelphia 76ers. You and I have spoken about this on each other's show before. If there's a team I do not trust in the East to go very far because of a lack of continuity, it's Philadelphia. They got some problems.
Yeah, they sure do, Brian. A 5-22 road record is a serious problem, considering you're not going to play another game at home the rest of the year. So, you know, we talked about Portland and Indiana. Luckily for the Indiana Pacers, they have time to get it together because they're in the Eastern Conference primarily, and they've already clinched a playoff spot, as where Portland has it. Philadelphia obviously has clinched one, but you're right, Brian. They have to get it together. And to have, you know, this, we're going to have to see how this works out with Ben Simmons moving to power forward. It's a really strange time to try to make that transition, if you ask me. But desperate times call for desperate measures. And this Philadelphia franchise is obviously desperate. They know they're 5-22 on the road. They've got to try to shake it up. And that person they put at point guard, Shake Milton or whatever his name was, he played really good back in Los Angeles in March when they went in and beat the Clippers in Los Angeles, which, as we know, is not an easy thing to do. It's probably only happened less than a handful of times this season. The Sixers were one of those teams to actually do that with Milton playing really good basketball. So I'm a little intrigued to see what's going to happen, Brian, with that situation in Philadelphia. Should be interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Ben Simmons at the power forward position, when he was touted as their next great point guard, you know, trying to follow in the steps of one Maurice Cheeks and all that, but Ben Simmons has been inconsistent. Joel Embiid has been consistent. Let's stay with Philadelphia for a moment. You and I have talked about Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons before, and I still am of the belief one of those two at the end of this season has got to go.
I agree. And when you sign Al Horford this past offseason for 4 years and $110 million, that really opens up the door for one of these guys to leave. Because last time I checked, Brian, Al Horford is a center. And if he's a center, then that means Joel Embiid is going to have to play power forward. But if Ben Simmons is your power forward, then how can Joel Embiid play power forward? This is pretty darn confusing. And these are three guys that all have over $110 million on the books, a combined contracts. Let's see, Brian, $150 for Embiid, $170 for Simmons, and $110 for Al Horford. That's almost $400 million in salaries for just two positions in basketball, power forward and center. It's going to be really weird, and I agree. Somebody's got to go.
Yeah, that team is going to get – that team has got to be dismantled and reconstructed. Tobias Harris is on that team as well, and he's got a $100 million contract. Lord only knows why Philadelphia chose to pay four players $100 million apiece, and you're not going to keep them all. It's a mess in Philadelphia right now.
Yeah.
It's an absolute mess. And I didn't expect this from the Philadelphia 76ers. One of those guys, or two, or maybe all of them, have to go. They have to reconstruct themselves somehow, and they must get a pure point guard, because as I've said many times on this program, Ben Simmons is not your answer.
No, and I totally agree with everything you just said there, Brian. I mean, let's think about this. We were told for years by that organization in Philadelphia to trust the process. And the process now is to pay $600 million in salary over the next 4 or 5 years to four players that can only play three positions if Simmons is indeed going to be, whether it's a power forward or even a small forward, because Harris is obviously a forward. So four players, $600 million in contracts, but only three positions. Makes no sense. It's a process
None.
That I will choose not to trust.
I definitely don't trust it. And look at the playoff success or lack thereof with Philadelphia. Let's go back to 2018 when they got blasted in five games by the Boston Celtics. And coming into this year, if there's any coach who has a hot seat, it would be Brent Brown. For him to keep his job, he would have to just basically run the table. And when you got teams like Milwaukee, Toronto, and Boston in the way, Brent Brown is finished.
I think he's a dead man walking, too, Brian. I tend to agree. I think the only thing that can save his job is a trip to the conference finals. Getting to the second round is the same thing you've done each of the last two seasons. I don't think that's good enough. And obviously, losing in the first round is taking a step backwards. And if that does indeed occur, it's curtains time for Brett Brown. He's almost in a no-win situation. I kind of feel bad for him because he seems like a really good guy, a really dedicated coach. He obviously comes from the Greg Popovich coaching tree. So it tells you that he definitely has some good coaching skills, some good people skills. But I think the hand he was dealt in Philadelphia is simply a hand that you cannot win with.
No, and it's a bad hand. And meanwhile, one team that you touted at the top of the season starting to find its stride right now and needs, and that's the Boston Celtics. Big win against the Portland Trailblazers. If there's a team you need to watch aside of Milwaukee and Toronto, it's Boston. They're starting to get hot at the right time.
Yeah, and they look good. You know, it was, like I mentioned earlier in our segment, they were without Kemba Walker towards the end of the game for minutes restrictions. Yet Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown stepped up and played like the stars they are. They played like the number two and number three draft picks that they are. Danny Ainge had a vision for that team in Boston. And it's paying off because you can look at least three players on that team. When you look at Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown, and you can honestly say all three of those guys are better players than Kyrie Irving. It's certainly addition by subtraction in Boston by not having Kyrie Irving. This looks like the Boston team that we saw 2 years ago get all the way to Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals. A team in a franchise, Brian, that has not been to the finals in 10 years. If you're the Boston Celtics, that's a long time. That might not be a long time for most franchises, but when you're the Boston Celtics, that's a long time to be away from the NBA finals. You better believe they have their sights set on it, and I think they have the personnel in place to make it right to the finals.
And I'll ask a question I've asked a couple of other people, and it just remains to, the point remains to be hammered home. Until somebody beats them, people are still sleeping on the defending world champion Toronto Raptors.
Sure are, Brian. And what a performance just 2 days ago against the LA Lakers. I believe they held the Lakers to 82 points. And, you know, I said this going into the break that we were going to have. Never knew it would be a 4.5 month break. And it's really weird to have the NBA here in August, but I'm glad we do. But what I was saying, though, was 4.5 months for Nick Nurse to sit around and watch tape and come up with new defensive strategies and schemes. And I said, if this is going to happen, this is going to be really scary, and that Raptor defense is going to be really scary. Well, we saw an example of it 2 nights ago against the LA Lakers. We're going to see them play a surging Miami Heat team today. But you've got to respect this team, Brian. Going into the season, none of us said the Raptors would finish number two in the East. And here they are. They're number two. They're exactly where they finished last year when they won the NBA championship. And if you would have told me that, hey, the Raptors are going to finish number two and they're going to lose Kawhi Leonard this offseason, I would have said, well, who did they bring in? They must have brought in some really good, significant free agents to come in and fill that void. And no, they didn't bring in anybody.
Right.
They just retooled and went back to work, and look where they are now.
Absolutely. Let's go to the West, and it's so good to have Chris Pirtle back on to break down the NBA. It's good to have the NBA back. Okay, let's go to the West, and let's make some Laker fans angry with the following statement, and I want to hear your breakdown. Yes, the Lakers do have the number one seed now, but for them to get all the way to the World Championship Series, I'm sorry. I just don't see it. This is an incomplete basketball team. You may have LeBron James. They may have Anthony Davis. But who do they have after that is the question.
Yeah, and they have a lot of question marks. You know, they're obviously going to be without Avery Bradley, which I think is a huge loss for them, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I know they brought in J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters, but neither one of those guys are known for their defense, and I find it hard to believe that they're ever going to be known for their defense. Anthony Davis was held to just 14 points the other night by the Toronto Raptors. Tells me that they don't have a lot of options. If they did, somebody else would have stepped up, and they would have scored a lot more than 82 points. I've been skeptical on this team all year, Brian. We saw them get off to that quick start. I believe it was 21-7. And then around the Christmas break, we saw them lose four out of five games, or four games in a row is what they had. They had a four-game losing streak at the time when they lost to the Clippers at the holidays. And we saw them with a sub-500 record against teams that had a 500 or above record.
Mm-hmm.
So they were unable to beat the good teams until the very end, right before the pandemic, when they were able to get those victories against the Clippers and the Milwaukee Bucks. They were actually starting to hit a nice stride, and I think that is one of the teams that's affected the most by this layoff. You look at their age, LeBron James in his 17th season, Dwight Howard in his 16th season. It's hard to take 4.5 months off and come back and pick up where you left off, and the LA Lakers are finding that out right now.
And here's a point that I made on yesterday's show, and I'm going to continue to hammer this point home. LeBron James in his 17th season, people want to celebrate the fact that he had a tip-in against the Clippers to win that game. But I got to tell you something. He doesn't look like the LeBron James of old. No pun intended. I mean, 35 years old, 17th year in the league, and he looked like he was 35 years old and his 17th year in the league, even with 4.5 months off.
Yeah. You're right, he does. I mean, the father time is undefeated, but you know who doesn't look too fazed by this layoff? And that is the reigning finals MVP,
Kawhi
the reigning
Leonard.
All-Star MVP, a guy who looks like he can turn it off and turn it on whenever he wants to, as does his team, who blew out their opponent by 32 points the other day. I forgot exactly who that was they beat, another Western Conference team, I believe.
New Orleans.
Blew them out by 30. New Orleans, yeah, exactly. A pretty good young Pels team that they blew out by 32. I've seen them do that, Brian, several times this season where they have decided in certain games that they're going to come out and just beat the snot out of their opponents. It makes me think that this team has a switch that they can flip. And when you look at the two stars on that team, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, there's no reason to think they don't have that switch. There's a reason this team has been my favorite to win the NBA Finals since the preseason of this season. So look out for the Clippers. I think they are the least affected by the layoff. Their superstars are in their late 20s. Their better bench players are in their early and mid-20s. There's a reason why I have the LA Clippers favorites to become 2020 NBA champions.
And there is no argument from me. They may have been without Montrezl Harrell, they may have been without Lou Williams, but if there is a complete team in the Western Conference, it's the Clippers. It's not the Lakers. I've said all along that the Lakers have too many holes in their game right now and too many questions to answer. The Clippers do not. And something that the Clippers have borrowed from the Spurs and the Golden State Warriors, and the Warriors will house my final question, the Clippers have the best bench, and not only that, they have the deepest bench. And like you said, Pirtle, they can turn it on at any time. And against New Orleans, they took all their frustrations for letting the Laker game get away and took it out on New Orleans.
Yeah, and that's something I've observed about this Clipper team all season long. I don't think they have, I would have to go back and check if they have back-to-back losses. It's probably only happened once this year. When they lose, they respond with a vengeance, and that tells you a lot about Doc Rivers, just a talented coach in this league. Won the NBA Coach of the Year in his first season in Orlando back in 2001. Won an NBA championship with the Celtics. One of the only coaches since Casey Jones and Red Auerbach have won championship. Not too many coaches in Boston have won championships, so if you're on that list, you've got to be a pretty darn good coach. I think he's an ultra-talented coach, and I wouldn't be surprised if Doc Rivers is hoisting another Larry O'Brien championship when we get to, I want to say June, because I'm so used to saying June, Brian.
Yeah,
but yeah. I guess we'll have to see that when it happens in October, which is so weird because the NBA starts every year in October, so
mm-hmm.
I guess maybe we'll finally get it pushed back to January every year.
Yeah, Or at least push back to Christmas. At least push back to Christmas, because Christmas is when the season really, really cranks up. One final question. One final point, and I want your thoughts on this. If there is a team that's waiting in the wings to come back stronger next year, and y'all are going to think I'm nuts, it's going to be the Golden State Warriors. Watch this.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Warriors, 5 consecutive appearances to the NBA Finals. We know what their core can do with Steph, Clay, and Dre. And now, added Andrew Wiggins, and then potentially the number one pick in the draft. You have to take them seriously, Brian, and no reason not to. These guys are all still relatively young. I can't say they're in the prime of their career, but none of them, when you look at those three main guys, are old by any stretch.
Mm-mm.
And they are smaller players, so it gives me a hope that they could play until their late 30s, and none of them are even close to being in their late 30s, so you have to take them seriously, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them right back in the mix in 2021.
I wouldn't be surprised either. Their oldest player is Stephen Curry, who is only 32. And I say only 32 because he's got a lot more shots and a lot more creativity left. Chris Pirtle joining me here to break down the action inside the NBA bubble. I'd love to have you back tomorrow, man, because there are still some teams we need to talk about, including the team that you and I think are really going to disappear, the Houston Rockets. I'd love to have you back.
Yeah, let's make that happen. A lot of good games today, Brian, so we can review them tomorrow, and I certainly look forward to talking to you.
Chris Pirtle joining me here. Thanks a lot, my friend. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Have a good afternoon.
Man, I got some more stuff for you. We're powered by Sports Carolina Monthly, FPC Radio, and the SDM Sports Network. Snowman in the Morning, back in a flash. All right, let's give you the Monday schedule. Thank you to Chris Pirtle, who stopped by Snowman in the Morning to give his thoughts and takes on what happened with the NBA on Sunday. Today, the Raptors and Heat are already in motion, and it's the Raptors leading the Heat 48-44. Later on, Denver takes on Oklahoma City. The Pacers take on the Wizards. The Grizzlies will take on the host Pelicans. The Spurs in Philadelphia will tangle. And then the last game of the night, the Lakers and the Utah Jazz. All games will be in Orlando, Florida, inside the bubble at ESPN's Wide World of Sports. But the NBA is back. Glad to have the NBA back, and I'm glad to be back and healthy to be back with y'all. Hope you have a great one. Enjoy the games, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow with the Full Press NBA Podcast.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Snowman Digital Media. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown.
Possibly. Out to Kobe. Far away, high up. Oh, what a way to finish! Are you kidding me?
Curry comes to the ball, goes to the corner, catches, works up Pondexter, fade away, three, short, rebound space. Curry in the corner, shoots, on the way, got it! He hit it!
They get it to Fisher.
He scores!
Fisher scores at the buzzer!
And it goes to Bird. Bird up fake. Bird takes the shot. It's gone!
All right, it's win or lose. Game 6 for the Bulls. 10 seconds. And with it, of course, the championship. Jordan, 20-footer, head of the key. Good! Chicago by 1. And the Utah Jazz take time. Michael Jordan from the top of the key to put the Bulls up 87-86.
For more information, log on to snowmandigitalmedia.com.